From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We continue today in our studies in the life of Christ, looking once more at John's Gospel chapter 1, the calling of the first disciples, in which we see not only the greatness of Christ, but His grace. We're going to be continuing with that theme of the greatness of the grace of Jesus Christ, seen in the people whom He calls to Himself, from John's Gospel chapter 1. That will be in just a few minutes. But first, our hot topic for today. The United States Senate debates muzzling churches. In what many see as one of the greatest threats to free speech that Congress has considered, the United States Senate is debating a bill, S-1, specifically Section 220, that will make churches and other non-profit organizations liable to prosecution for communicating any position on public policy without informing the government. It all sounds like Big Brother is watching you, but unfortunately this is fact and not fiction. The chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice said on the organization's website, "This is one of the most significant violations of the free exercise of religion and the freedom of political speech in our nation's history." Some have said that this plan is the most comprehensive regulation of political speech that has ever been put forward by Congress. Close the quote. Pro-family groups see much in the bill that deserves support, but Section 220 has set alarm bells ringing, and all over America, Christians are being advised to contact their senators and demand that they remove this provision that was slipped into a lobbying reform bill by a number of Democrats and Republicans. Let's be clear. Churches do not have a mandate to get into party politics. But they have a God-given right, rather a command, to speak to their people and to the world on the great moral and spiritual issues that face the nation. They can and must be heard as the nation debates its social agenda. The proposed legislation would prohibit churches from taking any public stand on such matters as abortion on demand, sodomite marriage and such like, without government permission. For that is the only possible reason for the government to demand a record of the church's activity. When churches allow the government to regulate what they say on matters that God's word requires them to speak, they prove unfaithful to Christ. This issue should alert us to the fact that even in the United States Congress, there are enemies of free speech for Christians. Usually these are the very people who demand free speech for themselves and for every left-wing hate group that's working for the destruction of all that we as Christians hold dear. Often, ordinary people feel a sense of helplessness because there's apparently nothing they can do that will have an effect. In this case, there is something you can do. You can and should make your voice heard by making sure that your senator knows that you want his assurance that he will do all in his power to remove this obnoxious clause, and that you'll remember his stance on this matter when it comes to election time. This isn't party politics. As I said, the section of which I'm speaking was introduced by both Democrats and Republicans. This goes to the heart of the freedom of American Christians and churches to practice their religious convictions without let or hindrance from the government. So tell Caesar that you won't stand idly by while he tries to muzzle you.
Almighty,
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. If you're not a subscriber to our quarterly magazine, then let me bring you up to date and tell you of our latest issue, which deals primarily with the Book of Psalms. Here you'll find studies that will be of great help to you and will make the Book of Psalms in many ways a new book to you. To subscribe costs you nothing. It simply means you let us know your mailing address and we send off the magazines as they're published 4 times a year free of charge. So we invite you to write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at LTBS@freepress.org. Or, if you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. Turn to our Bible study in John's Gospel, chapter 1. We're considering how the Lord Jesus manifested his greatness and his grace in the calling of the first disciples. We have seen that he showed his grace in the people whom he chose to be with him. Yesterday we started something to which I want to return today. He showed his grace in that he welcomed every honest seeker. We've been looking at Andrew and John and Peter, and then the interesting case of Nathanael. Christ's grace seen in how he welcomed and still welcomes every honest seeker. With that in mind, let's turn to God's Word. You see his grace in the way he welcomed every honest seeker. Now, we read first about Andrew, and the other disciple, whom I said, is probably John. They were listening to John the Baptist, who said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And they immediately followed after Christ and said, he said to them, "What seek ye?" And they say, "Rabbi, where dwellest thou?" Later on, we read of his dealings with Peter. And still later, we read of his dealings with Nathanael. In every case where he meets with an honest seeker, he welcomes him. Now notice what he said to Andrew. "What seek ye?" Now, I want you to get this. I
don't think I'm pushing the meaning at all too far. I think there are times when you've got to say not just what he said, but what he didn't say, because we get tied up in knots so much when you have people coming to seek Christ. And they get so tied up in knots of man's making that they feel that they can hardly get through to Christ. The Lord Jesus didn't say to Andrew, "How do you feel? How deep is your feeling?" He did not say to Andrew, "How much do you know?" He did not say, "Can you tell me how great your faith is?" At this stage, he simply turned to him and he says, "What seek ye? What are you looking for? You've just heard John the Baptist say on two occasions, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.' Behold the Lamb of God. Is that what you're seeking?" That's what Christ is probing here. Do you really grasp what John has been saying? Is that what you're seeking here? Are you longing for pardon? Are you looking for the Lamb, the true sacrifice of God's provision? Because if you're looking for God's Lamb, if you're looking for God's pardon, if you're looking for God's grace, then you've come to the right one. I think personally, the context leaves me with no other conclusion. That's exactly what they were seeking. All they were seeking, the Messiah. They believed they had found the Messiah. But it was interesting that on this occasion, it wasn't Messiah as the title that John used. It was the Lamb of God. And as they heard that, that's what moved them to go immediately seeking Christ. Every time a poor, guilty sinner feeling the burden of his sin, feeling the depth of his iniquity, the urgency of his need, hears the scripture identifying Christ as the Lamb of God and is moved to seek him, he will find exactly the same welcome. The Lord Jesus does not make it hard for seeking sinners, contrary to what you would gather from some so-called Calvinistic preachers. You would think, according to some deformed rather than reformed preachers, that the Holy Ghost and the Holy Christ of God specialized in making the way to Christ like a high hurdle race, as difficult as they can. And it's the very opposite in Scripture. The Lord Jesus says, "What do you want? You've heard about the Lamb. Are you seeking the Lamb of God? Well then, come to him and welcome to him. Sure, your feelings are not all they ought to be. Your faith is not all it ought to be. Your knowledge is not all it ought to be. That comes with discipleship. But if you're seeking the Lamb of God, then the Lamb of God does not turn you away. Seek and you'll find. The promise is, if you're seeking with your whole heart, the promise is, you will find me. And if you have not found Christ, if you have not found him, it's because you haven't sought him. And if you have sought him, then you have found him. Understand that. And if the devil tells you you've sought him and you haven't found him, then you've got to look God in the face and the devil in the face and say, one or other is a liar. And I have no difficulty in concluding who the liar is. The God of truth cannot lie. And he says, seek me and you'll find me. Well, have you sought him? What are you looking for? If you're looking for Christ, if you're looking for the Lamb, bless God, he welcomes you and he does not turn you away. This whole matter does not need to be wrapped in mystery. doesn't need to be shrouded in deceptive phrases. If you've sought Christ, you found him. For he promises that. Seek and you'll find. I will be found of them that seek me. Is there anything you can't understand about that? Is there anything peculiarly difficult about it? What word is there in that promise that's difficult to understand? That's the promise of God. And our assurance must be grounded on the veracity of God. The devil comes and tells you, but you don't feel this way, that way, the other way. You didn't weep enough. You didn't lament enough. You didn't wait enough. You didn't know enough. You didn't pray well enough. Maybe you did this. Maybe you did the other thing. Maybe you didn't. You've been down that. Many of you have been down that road 100 times. Man, the old devil will keep you running around in ever decreasing circles until you drop down in exhaustion. But you've got to come to the place ultimately. Jesus is not saying, how much do you know, how much do you feel? He's saying, what are you looking for? Are you seeking me? Are you seeking me, the Lamb of God? Then there's a welcome. Notice how he dealt with Peter. He says, thou art Simon. Now we looked a little at that last week, the force of the name. Not every Simon was like this one, but this one was one who lived up to his name. Simeon was a rash character, quite a violent character. Simon Peter certainly had all the rashness of his first namesake. Well, Jesus says, in effect, thou art Simon. You'll be called Cephas, which is by interpretation Peter. A stone. In other words, I know you. I know you're Simon, with all that that implies. I know your character. I know your nature. I know your weakness. I understand your feebleness. I understand your zeal, but your undependability. I know it all. You are Simon. This is what you are. But let me show you what I'm going to make you. The devil wants to tell you that in order to be received of Christ, you've got to become something. Whereas Christ tells you, in order to be received, you come as a sinner, and grace makes you what he wants you to be. That's what he did with Simon. Welcome. I intend to make you Peter. A stone. Solid. Dependable. Nothing could have been further from what was expected of this particular Simon. A mercurial character, volcanic character, a likable character, one who would be all up in the air with zeal and who could promise you the moon, but then the next day could be completely different. Man who opened his mouth first and thought second. That was Simon. Jesus said, you're the man that I will make to be Peter, with a rock-solid stability. Isn't it interesting that when Peter came to write his epistle, he described God's people as living stones? Peter knew what Christ had done for him. He knew what grace had accomplished in his life. He says this, in effect, is what God does for every sinner. And he has made us stones, not just stones, but stones for usefulness. And he's put us right into the building of God, the house, the temple that God is building. Just as Solomon had the stones cut without any sound of a tool at the building site, pre-cut, pre-sized, everything done just to put them in place. So the sovereign grace of God has made me a stone, and then at the right time came and put me in the building. And that's what God does with every sinner. Every honest seeker finds this honest welcome. You look at what or how he welcomed Nathanael. Now, I pointed out last week that we tend to look at this statement that Nathanael was an Israelite indeed in whom there was no guile as a compliment. Well, it was a compliment of sorts. But look at the connection. It was talking about a fellow who was as blunt. We talk about calling a spade a spade. Well, that's the kind of fellow Nathanael was. He was not very well mannered. In fact, he's one of the most churlish characters that you're going to meet in the New Testament. This fellow hadn't even common manners about him. He comes to the Lord Jesus, and when the Lord Jesus says, "Indeed, an Israelite in whom there's no guile," he says, "How do you know me?" That's exactly what he said. How do you know me? Nothing very mannerly, nothing reverential about his approach to Christ. He's already come with a deep prejudice. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, he came from Galilee. Galilee was spurned and scorned by the rest of the country. But as you find in scorned places, they will always find places within that place that's even more worthy to be scorned. And so he, the offscouring of all flesh, found people from Nazareth even more of the offscouring of all flesh. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. And he came and he saw. But with all that churlishness, there was a reason why Nathanael was down in the southern part of the country. It was the same reason that brought the rest of them down. They had heard of the preaching of John the Baptist. They had heard of the message of John the Baptist. They had heard that the voice of one crying in the wilderness was there. They had come with an expectation that the time for the revelation of the Messiah was near. They had come honestly seeking the Christ. And for all the other things, it was true Nathanael was an honest seeker, certainly full of prejudice and full of doubt. The Lord Jesus immediately dispelled his folly in the light of his own glory.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.